Hey, good morning, Real Life Church family.
Good morning.
From the staff to your home, so thankful that you're joining us on the last service of 2020. Been a long, long year.
But, super long.
We've actually decided to wrap up the year like we started it. At the beginning of the year, if you're with us, you know that we felt as a team that God wasn't just saying one thing. In fact, we just said it's unlimited because you couldn't limit God to doing one thing in 2020, not knowing what 2020 was going to bring us. And I really think it points to what I firmly believe is that God doesn't think annually. He is a generational thinker. In other words, a lot of people think they lost a year, but I don't think that's true at all because God didn't lose a year because he thinks in generations. And so if God didn't lose a year, we didn't lose a year. And I just wanted to encourage you with a passage of scripture before we really jump into our conversation and really pull from the life of our team here in what really 2020 taught us. It's Ephesians 5 verses 15 and 17. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." To me, this passage really describes how we as a team, as a body, have navigated 2020. And it really started out when God spoke to us as a staff. Again, I'm going to say it again, that we would not limit God to doing just one thing. And I think we could all testify, you as well, that God did many things, not only in our body, but through our body. And I think this verse amplifies it. The first thing is, in 2020, we walked carefully. We walked carefully. Secondly, we walked with wisdom and understanding. Not only seeking God's wisdom, but also seeking the counsel of our team, of our leadership, even of our body. We sent out surveys. And so walking with wisdom and understanding. I believe we made the most of our time. I don't believe we wasted time this year. We asked God, "God, what are you saying? Yeah. And what are you doing?" Because we want to say what you're saying and we want to do what we're what you're doing. I mean, this year, you know, Pastor Michelle, Chubbs, we launched a food pantry, you guys. And what started out as like a small little canned food drive literally has fed thousands of people. And so, you know, we didn't waste time. We redeemed time. And then lastly, I believe as a church, we recognized early what the will of God was. And we moved forward as a church, not backwards as a church. And so today I wanted to just take some time, and I'm not putting a time limit on this service because what you are about to receive is really what God has been cultivating in us, developing in us, challenging us with. Because the words that we brought to you at the beginning of the year, how many know those words are for us personally as well? And so I wanted to really just start out with Pastor Michelle. You brought a word for 2020 that it was going to be a year that was going to be uncomfortable.
Yep.
Tell us, what did God and what has God taught you in 2020?
Yeah. So last year, I challenged everyone to embrace the uncomfortable, not knowing, I don't think anyone could imagine what 2020 was going to bring. And I challenged everyone and I said, you know, sometimes there's things that God wants to do and promises that he wants to fulfill in our lives that we need to, on our end, we need to get uncomfortable. Like Joshua and the Israelites marching around Jericho, there was the promise, "I will give you the city, its king, and all of its warriors, but you have to do this. This is how you're going to do it." And I remember just thinking like, well, that's crazy, you know, and I've got promises that I'm holding on to. And, you know, yeah, Lord, like I'm willing myself to be uncomfortable and to embrace the uncomfortable things. But what I didn't realize was really just how difficult this year was going to be. And I faced immense heartache, immense chaos, troubles and hardships that I never in my wildest dreams did I ever see coming. But on the flip side of that, like I've also seen lots of promises for years that I've been contending for. And I've seen all of those things come to pass. And yeah, I just kept remembering the words of Paul from 2 Corinthians. You know, he said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in my weakness, in insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think sometimes we think, yeah, like it's easy. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. But then those things come, you know, difficulties come, insults, hardships, pain comes. And this year I found myself, instead of boasting in my weakness, I found myself wallowing in my shortcomings and like just settling in that and being like, man, like this is it. Like I'm done. Like I'm over it. I don't want to give it at all. Like I'm done. I remember having a meeting with Pastor Dean and Jesse and just like being in tears, like, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not equipped for this. I stated last year that, you know, one of the most uncomfortable things for me is sharing on a stage with a microphone in front of a crowd of people.
And you're so good at it, by the way. You are good at it. You are natural.
Thanks. And then I found myself, you know, having to switch from in-person to online. So I went from a room of people to the internet. Which, you know, that's like a major jump. You're like on all sorts of levels with all these like major YouTubers and all these things. And I found myself like putting myself in competition with other people and assigning myself shortcomings instead of resting in grace and knowing this is what God has called me to and this is where he's put me. And even though this is difficult and even though this is hard and even though, you know, I don't think that I can, his promise to me is that his grace is sufficient for me, right? And so I had to lean into that promise. And even when, like, you know, marching around those walls, I'm sure for 6 days, even sometimes on that seventh day, Joshua and the Israelites were walking around and they were like, no, I don't think these walls are going to come down. I don't think it's possible. But then it happens. But they were still clinging to that promise. And so this year, like, I really learned what it means to rest in and to lock into my grace is sufficient for you. His grace really is sufficient for me. And I mean, I made typos. I'm sure everybody saw all my typos in the outreach emails and, you know, bloopers on the kids' videos and all of that. And I got to a point where I just kind of had to laugh it off and just be like, well, his grace is still sufficient for me. And his power is made perfect in my weakness. And there's nothing that I can do. As long as I'm obedient, I can't mess this up. As long as I'm submitting myself to what God has put in me and called me to do and what he's placed in front of me, even if it is the size of Jericho, those walls are going to come down as long as I'm obedient and submitting to him and resting in that grace. I really learned to rest in grace. Which is hard. I'm a perfectionist. I'm a planner. So like one typo, one wrong link, one blooper in our kids' video, and I'm like, the world is ending. But his grace is still sufficient for me.
Yeah, so many things I think cropped up, you know, that we weren't expecting. I mean, you might think, hey, I don't know how Pastor Dean and the team get up and speak in front of a crowd, but I can just tell you right now, speaking in front of a camera is absolutely horrifying.
It's terrifying.
Speaking to an empty room.
Why is it so scary?
Yeah, it's crazy, but I think you nailed it. It's like in our weakness, when we feel unqualified, that's where we meet God's grace.
Yeah.
And I think we've all experienced, you know, the lavish, you know, the richness of God's grace in 2020. But thanks for bringing that word. And it has been awesome And I know we've all seen this in you, but we've seen that word develop in you. And I just want to say thank you for just stepping up to the challenge. So this entire team, I mean, we even got uncomfortable this year in a lot of ways. So, but thank you for being obedient, bringing that word and then living it out before us. Pastor Brandon, you said the rain was coming and 2020 brought a storm, but come on, man, tell us about the rain.
Man, 2020 brought heavy rain. but it was a great, and I say this kind of reservedly in a way, but it was a great year for people trusting in the Lord. Yeah. Mm. And I've seen God do some things in this year that many people believe were impossible, or they had been working towards for so many years, and they just seen everything come to pass this year. And I think when we talk about the rain, we were at the beginning of the year. I went back and watched the entire all of our words for the beginning of the year and how relevant they are. Yes. But I was asking the Lord, like, what can I say about heavy rain now at the end? Because, you know, they say hindsight is 2020.
We're never going to forget that.
Right. No pun intended. But we were coming from 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah has stopped the rain for 3 years, and he comes back before Ahab, and he says, go tell him that the rain is coming. And so one of the verses, verse 44, I didn't pay attention to this part when I talked about it the first time, but when I was praying, the Lord highlighted it to me. But verse 44 says, the seventh time, this is when the servant came back the seventh time, he reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Go down before the rain stops you. And so the Lord began to tell me, or he began to minister to me, that the rain can either feed you or flood you depending on your capacity of obedience.
Wow.
So the same rain that God sent to bless you, it can become a hindrance if your capacity for obedience doesn't match the rain coming. And so we can see that in 2020, how the people who are seeking after the will of the Lord, people that have been faithful to the call of the Lord, the rain has come and the blessing has not stopped, right? I know several people in this church who have bought houses.
Yes.
They have sold houses and made significant profit from it. And so I believe that even though it's been a difficult season, that obedience has brought the blessing of the Lord. And there's something that the Lord showed me. I was looking up plants. And did you know that if you overwater a plant,
yes,
it will begin to die?
I know that all. Yes, I know that. Yes.
Right.
All too well, I know that.
Well, the way that happens is that the plant draws the water from the soil through its roots. But if you overwater, then the roots begin to rot.
Oh.
That's what happens. The root begins to rot, and then they can no longer pull the nutrients out of the soil. And that's what happens. If you begin to be disobedient during a time of rain, the same rain that God sent to feed you will begin to flood you by rotting your roots. Isn't that something?
Wow.
By rotting your roots. And so I believe that 2020 has shown me more than anything that obedience is the principal thing.
Wow.
Because obedience has the capacity to turn a blessing into a blockage. And so, I tell you, when I've seen that word, not just on my life, but like I said, many of the members' lives, many of the leadership's lives, that living in obedience can make the rain a good thing in your life.
Man, I love that. And to God be the glory. I mean, we actually, three of you bought new homes, two of you first time homeowners. And so congratulations to you guys. In that's exciting to see and rewarding to see. And then I'm not going to steal your thunder, but you know, you had to downgrade to upgrade. You're going to talk about that, but so good to see God moving in the lives of the people that you do life with. So good. And Pastor Isaiah, you know, you brought Choose Joy. Little did we know that 2020, that joy was going to have to be a choice for us. Because joy and happiness has not come easy in 2020. How did that word challenge you, and what's God taught you in 2020?
Yeah, so, man, things were going good going into 2020.
We had momentum, y'all.
I was ready to party.
We had mo.
The funny thing is, like, the first word, because I felt like it was a time of celebration, time of, like, really, and that joy. And I told Pastor Dean, I said, hey, my word is fun. And he was all, keep praying. And so I kept praying. And I'm like, well, I'm going to throw a curveball and say joy. And so, you know, but for me, you know, I was like, it's a time to really just relish in what God is doing. Yeah. And, you know, but that didn't change, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like throughout 2020, like, what it's taught me is a lot of times we can fake joy. Yeah. We've learned how to put on those smiles. We've learned how to, everything's cool. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah, this and that, yada, yada. But, like, choosing true joy is a whole different, and it gets tested,
yes,
right? And so in my, I went to, like, look, like, what did I say? And so, like, you know, I said in the message that happiness is easy in the good times, but joy is put to the test in trial. Man. That I talked about fear, anger, and anxiety is an epidemic, not just an epidemic of the world, but also is creeping into the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I said, I finished it with, it's important that we more than ever lean into the word of God, abide in his presence, and declare the hope of God. Mm. And so through this, and especially like as the role of youth pastor, you know, students have struggled to have joy or happiness or even hope. You know, we saw class of 2020 really struggle with, you know, they don't get prom and, you know, and now 2021 is looking like the same thing. And so, you know, for me personally, like in ministry is like, man, if I don't, my wife and I and my kids don't portray joy, the message that we're giving the people of God, someone who's ministering the gospel is not valid, right?
Yes.
And so that was for us and for me in my home, right? We went into quarantine, and like you said, you know, we were in a 700 square foot apartment in quarantine, and I was like, dear God, like something has to happen.
Amazing.
God, I'm not choosing joy right now. I'm about to slap somebody, right? And so, you know, and just like, you know, God's faithfulness in that, like, I mean, being close with my family, mm-hmm. you know, seeing that, and just through all of it. I mean, I lost two grandpas this last year, you know, it's just been a lot of craziness, but like coming back to that message is like, I got to choose joy. Yeah. And the cool thing is it's not my joy. It's his joy. And, you know, just realizing like, am I rooted? You're talking about roots, you know, am I rooted into what the vine is giving? Not just, can I smile today? And we've had to look ourselves in the mirror a lot this year rather than, you know, faking out other people. It's hard to look in the mirror and fake someone out. I remember as a teenager, I look in the mirror, I'm like, who have you become? Like, how dareth thee be this, you know? And I think we've had to have those moments of like, who am I? What am I about? Do I really believe that God is my joy? And he is my hope, that he's my everything? And so it's had been to like that come to Jesus moment, come to, you know, joy moment. And I talked about in the beginning about like winning and losing teams. And, you know, I think Josiah, you know, they're just off a great season. Like the difference between the winning team and the losing team on the sidelines, you know, the winning team's like, you know, they're doing their dance. I don't know how to dance, but you know, they're doing their dance, you know, and the losing team looks all sad. And you know, as I was preparing for today, just kind of thinking of what to talk about, like, you know, we'd never change teams, even though like there's been some losses, you know, we've taken some L's, you know, some people maybe have lost family members. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you haven't changed teams. You're still on the winning team. And, you know, I'm the crazy one. And I'm going to bring this up. It's whatever. But like, I got the vision kind of like a hood pigeon, not like the actual bird, right? Like a hood pigeon. Right. And my son watches shows and, like, you ever try to make a hood pigeon flinch? They don't flinch. They're like, you can throw a rock at them. You can like try to, hey, hey. And they just like, just doing their own thing. They may have a, you know, cross-eyed with a limp and one leg and a feather missing, but like, you know, they don't flinch. And I just felt like for this year, God's like, hey, I don't want your joy to flinch, so you know, good. And I'm not saying go be a hood pigeon. Please don't quote that. But don't let the world cause you to flinch in your joy and your faith. And because I got you. And they got that confidence walking around, and you know, that God would have us portray the confidence of him through our joy in the middle of the craziness. So
we need hood pigeon joy.
We need to be
joy.
Hood pigeon.
Hood pigeon joy.
Hood pigeon joy.
Hood pigeon joy. So good.
Yeah.
You know, I love that word. And that word was, you know, that word was for, I think, not just you, but for us, for me personally. You know, we experienced some high highs in 2020. You know, son got drafted to the NFL, daughter graduated from college. And then on the other side of that, son has a season-ending injury. You know, our joy, because it's eternal, is not based on our outward circumstances. And man, you know, choosing joy in 2020, and I believe we're going to get a little bit of a rollover, so we're going to have to continue to choose joy over the next several weeks until we get beyond where we're at. So thank you for sharing that word. I'm going to go to the prophetess right now, Pastor Jesse. We call her the prophetess now. I mean, she brought a word that no senior pastor actually wants to hear, but man, she actually equipped and prepared us for something was like, you know, prepare for your giants. Prepare to be challenged. Great challenges are coming. And so, Pastor Jesse, how did that word, what did that word teach you? What did 2020 teach you about yourself, where we're at?
Yeah, what's funny is, you know, I had heard someone say we are to be giant killers, you know, and that was a couple months before. And I thought that was more for me. I loved that idea, like, I'm a giant killer. I don't need to have grasshopper mentality. No idea that it would apply so much to us in 2020, right? And I just have to say, like, this, the wealth of depth and that we're all sharing here. Yeah. We build on each other, and I'm just listening like I'm being ministered to. I know that, you know, I'm sure our team is. And 2020, just a quick thing, like if anything for our staff, it's brought us closer.
Yeah.
Even being at home.
Yeah. Work from home will bring you closer.
Yeah, it has just brought us. And so I just love that we are all rich in the spirit, you know, really. Yeah. And that's exemplified in this message that we preached in the beginning of the year. We all preached words for the year. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's moving through all of us. So yeah, I talked about giants and then 2020 perspective, because we had heard so much, so many pastors would coin the phrase like 2020 vision, right?
Yeah.
But really it's about 2020 perspective, having the perspective to see what's really happening and seeing the giants for what they really are. Mm. And the image that would come into my head is like, you're on a field, right? And you're with your army and you're running towards the giants. And then you kill the giant and there's a big celebration. There's the defeat of the giants. But 2020 was actually running towards the giants, like getting a breath for a second and then another giant just coming right after, you know? And there was never a moment for celebration. So, you know, in my mind, I was like, okay, you have some giants. You might have one big giant. I had no idea, truly, that we would have giants on top of giants, birthing more giants. Like, it just seemed like there's no breath in 2020. Yeah, so what does that mean for us as we're battling our giants, trying to keep that 2020 perspective? I asked myself that, and I believe the Lord has really been talking to me about that, and that is focus. Because if we are continually fighting, if we're always in crisis, we have to have focus. Because if we don't, we can get off track in a second. I think all the things that you guys have talked about so far, lean into that. What is our focus? And I know for me, it's Jesus. And that really should be for everybody, right?
Yeah.
And even in when I'm facing the giants, I just say, like, Jesus. Jesus. That's all I need to do. And just to help me get back my focus. And I want to read to you Matthew 7:24. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Mm. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Then, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Man, that just like so spoke to me, because I want to be a giant killer with authority.
Yeah.
I don't want to just be some random giant killer killing things left and right. No, I want to be a giant killer that has authority. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there are a lot of giant killers that look like giant killers. But I want to be the one that at the end of the day has the authority, and that is given to us by Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to be like Jesus, that cuts through all the things, that really gets down to it, and has the authority to push back the giants in our land, whether it's personally, nationally, whatever it might be. And so it's like David. Mm. No one knew that he was a giant killer. No one knew that a guy like him would defeat the giant. Even when he picked up his slingshot, no one knew that that weapon would be the one to kill the giant. But he had the authority. And even more than David, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be courageous. I want to be bold. I want to be compassionate. And I want to know that every word that I say, every move that I make is built upon a firm foundation. Because I believe the more that you build your foundation, that your actions just naturally are authoritative. They just naturally like flow out. Yeah. Like, I have the authority of Jesus. I don't got to question what I'm doing. That, you know, if you're really following, if you're finding joy, you know, all these things, the rain, the right kind of rain, what we're talking about, I can just live. I can live boldly. I can live freely. And I know that no matter what giant comes at me, I got it. I'm going to defeat it. So yeah, that would be my follow-up. Just laser sharp focus and a firm foundation.
Come on. Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, we've had to slay a lot of giants this year. Yes. And we've walked in that authority corporately as a team, as a church. And I believe, again, that holy boldness is not just going to come from this platform, but I believe it's going to, you know, permeate our body. Yeah. And so get ready for boldness, a holy boldness that's coming to Real Life Church. Yes. Now, enlarge our territory. You challenged us. Yeah. Hey, that in a COVID year that we didn't know was coming, right. God was going to expand our territory. How does that word challenge you?
Well, that word came from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, where Jabez, his name actually means pain. His mother had named him from her experience. So he didn't allow the season of pain to define God still enlarging his territory. Mm. He asked God, he said, God, bless me, keep me, let your hand be upon me, and help me not to cause evil or to cause pain. And one of the things that I've learned about when God wants to enlarge your territory, sometimes he have to disrupt the current territory that you have. sometimes you got to go smaller before you can go larger. And God kind of showed me with recently, as Pastor Brandon mentioned, a few of us had the opportunity, the blessing to buy a house. Stacy and I, we bought a new house. But us buying a new house was predicated upon us selling the old one. So we sold the old one. But once we sold it and bought the new one, they were like, hey, it's not going to be built to this time. So we actually had to downsize and move into an apartment, and which means I got a little bit uncomfortable. My routine, my rhythm.
Sounds familiar.
Right? Mm-hmm. All of that, you know, changed. And I realized when God wants to bring new, or when he wants to enlarge your territory, he does it through change. Mm-hmm. And change is introduced through a disruption. Wow. So when we want something new, we've been prophesying, yeah, praying, and speaking into new wineskins.
Yeah.
Well, new comes in the form of change, and change can often come in the form of disruption.
Yeah.
So I feel like God disrupted my routines and my rhythms to prepare me for the enlargement of what he has for us. But it's in the waiting that I'm being perfected.
Yeah.
Because although the promise, the deed, the transaction has already been made, that property is already purchased, but I don't step into that. I'm waiting.
That's good.
But I'm being perfected in the waiting. Yeah. What am I being perfected? I'm learning not to complain.
Yeah,
come on. I'm learning to choose joy and praise God. And I said this before, and it's something that sticks with me. Waiting is not about how long you wait. It's about how well you're waiting.
Wow.
Are you waiting in obedience? Are you waiting in trusting Jesus? Are you waiting in love and all those different type of things? And I've learned that in this season of being uncomfortable, I learned that God gives us these seasons of blessings and burdens, breakthroughs and problems.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's trying to teach us how to swim in troubled waters.
Whoa.
He's trying to teach us resilience, godly character, because the Bible says you obtain the promises by faith and patience.
Yeah.
And there's some things in the seasons to come that we won't be able to obtain unless we have the resilience.
Wow.
Or if we get what God promised us, but we don't have the character, the resilience to keep it, we will get what he promised us only to lose it because we weren't strengthened and sustained on how to keep it.
Wow.
And then lastly, what God taught me is just don't let a season of frustration, a season of disappointment, a season of pain label you or claim an identity that God never assigned to you. Jabez refused to be what his mom claimed him to be.
Mm-hmm.
She called him pain. She named him Jabez. And he went to God and he prayed. And the Bible says God granted his request by blessing him, enlarging his territory, and not causing evil or causing others pain. So I believe that the pain you might have felt in 2020, don't allow that to assign an identity that God never gave you.
Wow.
That's a season not to defeat you. Oh, I feel Jesus on this one. It's a season not to defeat you, but it is a season to develop you. 2020, this season that we have been in, it was to develop us for the greater and the enlargement of what God wants to do for the big church.
Yes.
In 2021, he's actually positioning us. He's caused us to all pivot and get into position and not so focus on the temporal, like you said, but get our eyes back on the eternal. Get our eyes back on Jesus. Get our eyes back on the rain. Get our eyes back on joy. Get our eyes back on the things that's going to position us to step into the greater that he has for us.
Man, great word, man. Great word. I'll take that one for going into 2021 as well. Hey, I'm going to ask you guys to just think of just a closing statement of just encouraging our body. I actually just declared at the beginning of the year that we needed to protect the unity of the house. And one of the things 2020 has taught me as it maybe relates to that and a lot more is that any crisis is an accelerator. We found that out the first couple weeks of quarantine when we were shut in with our families, right? The automatically, right, the weaknesses, things that might have happened 2 or 3 years down the road are now we're having to deal with 2 to 3 months in this whole pandemic. So crisis actually brings things to the surface faster than just, you know, if we wouldn't have experienced a pandemic this year. So crisis is an accelerator. But one of the things the Lord has taught me, you guys, and we've been sharing this as a staff, it's also a highlighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Crisis highlights our weaknesses, things that make us uncomfortable. It puts a spotlight on our giants where we have to choose joy and we have to pray for the rain and we have to believe God for the expansion that he wants to bring us. But God has highlighted some weaknesses, and in those weaknesses, because you guys, I'll be the first to tell you that I have not navigated or led perfectly in this season. I believe God has graced myself and this team to give God the best that we possibly could, and then he graced us and he anointed us to lead this church forward so that we wouldn't, you know, take steps backwards. But there are several areas that I just want to mention that I believe that God highlighted and said, you know what, my grace is sufficient for this season.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, as a pastor, I don't want to just lean just on his grace. I want to pay attention to those areas that the Holy Spirit has highlighted. And so here's just a few things, as we turn the page on 2020 and step into 2021 that we're going to focus on as a church. The first area is our prayer life as a church. I really believe that God wants to do a factory reset, just like you would totally erase your iPhone or your Android or whatever it may be, a factory reset. And listen, we have to get to a common place so that we can begin to lay a foundation to build the house of prayer that God wants real life to be. It just can't be, you know, four or five people called to intercession carrying the massive vision of real life church. And so I'm just believing God as we step into 2021 to expand our prayer life. Now, you might have the best prayer life, personal prayer life. You might have the most intimate. God might, you know, angels might show up at your bed. I don't know. But listen, as a body, corporately, our prayer life has to go to the next level. And so that's one of the areas. And then I'll just say, we're looking at a 3D vision as we step into 2021 in the area of connection. God has graced us in this season, but we have to deepen our connection with one another. Yeah. We've also got to go into deeper community. Yeah. You know, not just one-on-one relationships. I mean, we've had the opportunity, but even as a team, yeah. Pastor Jesse mentioned, we've deepened the level of community amongst our staff, but that has to happen at a church-wide level. It's been challenging too because of all the different things we face with quarantines and things that have isolated us and kept us separate. But 2021, we've got to fight for community. And then lastly, I would just say this, is that God wants to develop deeper disciples. He wants our wholehearted commitment as followers of him. And so those are some things that I believe that are on God's heart for real life church to deepen our connections, to deepen our community, and to deepen our discipleship. Yeah. And crisis is an accelerator and it's a highlighter of weakness. God's grace has been with us, but these are some areas that I believe they no longer have to be weakness. As Pastor Jesse said, they can be our focus. Yeah. And so that's what's going to happen in 2021, and I'm excited to tell you about that. Just some closing thoughts. Doesn't have to be all of you, but anybody have any closing thoughts?
Okay, I do. it goes along with what you were saying, and I actually feel like the Lord dropped this into my head a couple days ago, but get out of your echo chamber. I think that in 2020, we've had a lot of isolation and polarization. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing more than the enemy want for you to stay in your own echo chamber. So maybe it's just by yourself, or maybe it's with people around you who are not bringing a different perspective. I wouldn't even say it's a different perspective, but bringing some feedback to you, some truth maybe, or some hard things or whatever it might be. But get out of the echo chamber.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Lord has graced us with the ability to do that virtually, which is what's awesome, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if this was 20 years ago, I would be like, I guess you could, you know, go to your neighbor. I don't know. No, but you can, easy to get out of your echo chamber. So use those tools. Use the Word of God, Amen. Real life church, connection groups, communities, prayer, yes. all the things. Like, we're here to get you out of that, because I truly believe that Jesus, he wants to get inside there. Like, he wants to tell you some things that you haven't heard yet. So get out of your echo chamber.
I'll add it, because it's kind of what I was kind of, my closing statements for the youth this year were to, like, ask for help if you need help. And, you know, it's looking at, you know, you talked about Joshua. You talked about Joshua finding the Amalekites, and you got Moses holding up his staff and Aaron and Hur helping. Like, and their pressure sometimes of being that intercessor, the helper, and the battler all in one. But, like, God has put his son at his right hand interceding for us. He's put people around us to carry up our arms, and he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to fight those battles. And so we don't have to do it alone. I fail at this, right? You guys all know I'm the two in the group, and I fail at this. And so ask for help. You need anything, like, you know, just kind of echoing what you said, you know, ask for help. We are here for you. Yes. We love you guys. In any capacity, we're here for you.
That's good.
Yeah, I would say a word that I believe that the Lord has been speaking over me and my family is don't get weary in doing well. Yes. Sometimes it seems like the storm has been here, but the harvest hasn't come yet.
Yeah.
And even looking back on the message, 1 Kings 18:46, the Bible says, and the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he tucked in his cloak, and he ran to the city of Jezreel before the king got there. The king was on a chariot, and Elijah was on foot. And so I believe that when the reign of God is mixed with the obedience of God, it invites the presence of God or the power of God that will accelerate you to where God wants you to be. And so if you haven't seen the promise of God happen yet, it's not too late. But you have to keep being obedient. You have to not be weary in doing well.
We're going to have to schedule you to preach that entire message because we've only got the 10-minute clip. But we're going to give you a Sunday to preach that entire message. So I want to hear it all. So get ready. It's coming. 2021, y'all. Anybody else?
I'm just reminded of Psalm 119:49. Remember your word to your servant, for your word has given me hope. And Pastor Jesse nailed this a few weeks ago. Our hope is not in anything that we see. Our hope is absolutely only in Jesus Christ, his power, his resurrection, his blood, and the cross. Like, that's our right. Hope is not in anything else. And so going into, 2021, man, we gotta, our hope has to be in that. Our hope has to be in his word, in his written word, and in his spoken word, remembering his promises to us and the vision that he's put on this house, the things that he's promised this house. Because I really believe that, we haven't seen anything yet. Like, it's going to come to pass as we're obedient, as we continue to choose joy, as we get laser sharp focus, as we, enlarge our territory. Like, the Lord is going to be at work, and he's going to do some amazing and powerful things. And so my challenge is, remember your word. Remember your word to your servant, for your word has given me hope. Our hope is in him alone. Our hope is in his word and who he is and what he has spoken to us.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I would just say choose to be a praiser instead of a complainer.
Yeah.
Let praise stay in your house. You complain, you remain, you praise, you raise. I believe God assigns victory to those who keep praise on their lips. So just, any opportunity you have to complain, just offer a praise unto the Lord.
Come on.
Just keep your heart right. Continue to offer that praise. And just watch how God downloads the strategy you need to get out of that which you're tempted to complain in.
Amen, amen. I'm going to just ask you guys, can we just stretch our hands towards those that are watching? And we just want to just declare God's goodness over you. And as we close today, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for speaking to us. God, thank you for working in us. And God, thank you for flowing through us in 2020. We thank you, God, that yes, we were faced with difficulty. Yes, we were faced with problems. But God, your purposes prevailed. And I thank you, God, for each and every one, God, who's watching. God, I pray, Father, that these words that have been released, I pray that you would continue to work them in us, Father, that they would become a foundation, God, that we build upon, God. Lord, that we don't have to relearn them, but Lord, the things that you've taught us in 2020 would deepen our roots, so God, deepen our root system, God, that we would be unshakable. God, that no matter what would come towards us, God, in the future, God, we would stand strong and we would stand firm.
Yeah.
God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare this over each and every person, each and every family, and each and every household. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We love you, church.
Love you guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah.